It's pure and simple. It's murder. There's a heartbeat in 22 days. When the baby's born, the baby's helpless too, right? So should we kill babies when they're 6 months old?
Welcome to Straight Talk on Life Issues. It's great to be with you. I'm Victor Nieves, president of Life Issues Institute. While many Hollywood stars are pro-abortion and publicly support organizations like Planned Parenthood, there are still plenty of pro-life celebrities. People like Jennifer O'Neill, Kevin and Sam Sorbo, Patricia Heaton, Jack Nicholson, Celine Dion, and many more who are openly against abortion. In an industry that has historically been very hostile toward those who are willing to take a stand for the sanctity of human life, it's important that we remember not all Hollywood celebrities are in favor of abortion. In fact, there are many who have put it all on the line, risking their careers to take a stand for life. Unfortunately, as we know, there are many in Hollywood who do support abortion. For example, around the time that President Trump signed what's known as the Big Beautiful Bill on Independence Day, the legislation which defunded Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities, Cynthia Nixon and Lily Allen decided to show their total obsession with abortion by wearing hats that said, "Make Abortion Great Again." Thankfully, they were immediately met with necessary backlash, both from pro-lifers and even some pro-abortionists alike. Today, we're joined by three celebrities as they share their pro-life views. First, we're joined by Kevin Sorbo. He played the lead role on the groundbreaking TV show Hercules, and he now speaks from the heart to audiences around the world on the topics that he's passionate about. We're also joined by Sam Sorbo, a Hollywood actress, international fashion model, nationally syndicated radio host, film producer, and author. We're also joined by Jennifer O'Neill, internationally acclaimed model, actress, film and TV star, spokesperson, producer, author, fundraiser, and proud mother of three, as well as a pro-life advocate. Kevin, Sam, and Jennifer, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Good to be here for sure, and I appreciate what you guys are doing.
If you don't mind, Jennifer, briefly share with us your personal story of abortion.
Oh, boy. Well, I was in my early 20s, about 21. I had been married at 17 and had my daughter at 19. And after 6 years, that marriage didn't work. I had not met the Lord at that point, so I didn't have his reference point. Abortion had just become legal. I did not want the abortion, as about 85% of the women do. Men are not always the culprit, but in this case, my fiance, who had four children of his own, and I had one, and we were to be married, I was excited. I went to the doctor and he told me that I was due in the spring, and I said, write a note, and I got in a car and I went down. I was in Manhattan at that time, down to Wall Street, and put the note on the father's desk, my fiance, and he looked up at me and I, with an expression that I didn't recognize. I thought he'd be happy. He was not happy. He was very angry. So it was a process of threatening. And the fact of the matter is, I folded under that pressure. And I asked my parents their thoughts, and they said, this is a wonderful man. You can always have another child. I asked my friends and they said, it's legal. If he doesn't want it now, don't ruin everything. My doctor said I was just carrying the classic answer, a blob of tissue, a cluster of cells under 3 months old. And he came with me to the doctor, I think, to make sure I went through with it. And I was so upset, the doctor stopped and said, let me go out and talk to him. And I thought, well, there's a glimmer of hope, but he came back and he said, I've never heard anyone this adamant. The threats were horrible. And I just kind of closed my eyes and hated myself from then on. I had 9 miscarriages after that. And I came to my faith in Jesus Christ at 38 years old. So all those years and all those miscarriages, I thought that I was being punished for that heinous act I had let happen to me. And I, of course, was the poster child of what happens to women after abortion. Not only does abortion kill the baby, and it's a baby, no matter how early on, but it destroys families, it destroys women. And I think the enemy came in this incredible tactic of selling to women the notion that if women had rights, they had rights over the separate human being that they were carrying. There are so many options, option of adoption. I tried that with him. He was equally as against that, which adoptive parents and women who carry their children, I applaud. They're my heroes. And again, I want to repeat that all men are not the culprit, because there are so many people, men out there, who have no right to say what happens to their child. I started work with Silent No More shortly after that. And when I finally had, it took me 10 years to receive the grace of Jesus Christ in this area of my life, 10 years. And I realized that that was actually pride on my part, that what Jesus Christ did on the cross didn't cover my sin in that area. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. And once we can heal and receive his grace, our children, according to the word of God, are with him. I will see that baby again, and there's hope. And then you become a billboard for the truth. And then you become bold in the truth about life and warn women and families and tell them that they're not getting the full picture. Ignorance is not bliss in this case.
Absolutely. And Jennifer, your story, as you're well aware, is shared by countless women out there who have felt those same pressures. And it really is horrible what the abortion industry does to profit off of women in their worst moment. How did that experience affect your life in work in Hollywood?
Well, I just buried it, which most women do. We carry it with you. How did it affect in Hollywood? I didn't talk about it. It was common fare, I think, and still is with a lot of people. But I really deeply hated myself. And so how did it affect my time in Hollywood? I lost confidence in myself. I lost respect for myself. I was always looking for God, but no one told me about Jesus. So when I did find him, I was carrying my third child. It took me 20 years to have my three kids. And during that time, I started reading the Bible. I was married to a Marine, although he suffered from PTSD, I don't like to say, a disorder, but he loved Jesus. So ironic, it was my time, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and speaking to me, because I had searched. I had been 10 years in Eastern philosophy. I had really was looking for an answer in all the wrong places, including getting married, but I wanted to have children. I wanted to have a family. So during that period of carrying my last child, Cooper, I slowly, it was like a slow motion Clairol ad. I slowly came to my faith. I can't tell you the date. I do know after Cooper was born, we dedicated him and I was baptized and I was on fire for the Lord. And not long after that, I moved to Nashville, which was a lot user friendly, not for my career, but just as a human being.
Well, Kevin, you were really one of the very first victims of cancel culture back when you were booted from Hollywood a decade ago, more than that. Do you think that you being pro-life was part of the reason that you were canceled?
No question. I think just being a conservative or a Christian and a combination of both those things, which I am, is like being a double leper in Hollywood. And I am ground zero for that attack. There's no question. I was the first one that I knew of at that time that was getting banned. My agent and manager said that the studios don't want to work with me anymore because of those reasons of my what I was posting on the internet. And I said, oh, so you guys have trouble with me posting the truth? As you know, they hate the truth. So yeah, it's my wife and I formed Sorbo Studios because I love the industry. I love doing what I'm doing. I've been in this business for over 40 years and I'm not going to slow down doing it. I've been very blessed and God has opened his door for me. And I'm lucky to shoot at least three or four movies every single year since the bans. I'm still working. I'm just not doing the big things anymore that Hollywood used to invite me to do.
Kevin, you're somebody who really has put it all on the line. You've had so many opportunities and the things that they've done to you. Why is the pro-life issue so important to you that you are willing to go through all of that?
Because it's murder. I do a lot of pro-life speaking events and I put it right on the line. I said, I don't care how you guys want to say this. I'm going to offend some of you in the audience, but it's pure and simple. It's murder. There's a heartbeat in 22 days. If you don't say, well, it's not really a baby yet. And I go, yeah, it kind of is. But when the baby's born, the baby's helpless too, right? So should we kill babies when they're 6 months old? They can't fend for themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't change their diapers. Are they useless human beings at that point too? It's a weird thing. I love Ronald Reagan's one of my favorite quotes. He said, I've noticed all those people who are pro-abortion have already been born. So just such a great quote and so truthful. So I have a book out there called True Strength. It was my first book that came out. It's my journey from Hercules to mere mortal, and now nearly dying saved my life. And it's about the series of strokes I suffered at the end of season five while filming Hercules. I'm very lucky to be where I am today. I could have been killed instantly with these three bullets on my brain. I could have been in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I mean, it took me 4 months to learn how to walk and balance again. It took me 3 years to fully recover. I think a lot of that had to do with my age. I was in my 30s. I was in great shape. I was still shooting the series Hercules. I think if it happened to me when I was in my 70s, it'd be a different story. But when I wrote that book, it was to say, hey, you know what? Look, it happened to me. It could happen to you.
Sam, you have been a very vocal pro-life advocate over the years. Why is the pro-life cause so near and dear to your heart?
Because I don't believe that we should be supporting death, a death cult at this point. And it seems very clear to me that if we support the right to kill anybody, then we are no longer a culture worth preserving. In fact, look, this nation was founded on the three tenets, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, happiness being the pursuit of purpose, if you will. And the first of those is life. And if we don't support life, then we are no longer what we were conceived to be.
Let me ask you this. Are you seeing more people of influence in Hollywood, entertainment, and et cetera? Are you seeing more people becoming pro-life and taking that stand as of recent?
I'm seeing trends in that direction. I'm not seeing necessarily people of any notoriety doing that, maybe a little bit, but I am seeing trends in the youth being more pro-life and understanding that it's a baby and not a giraffe or a toaster, which is what I used to say. You know, people would, you know, they'd say you're pregnant. Yes, with a baby, in fact, and not a toaster, thank goodness, because that would be very hard to give birth to. So I think we're making a little bit of headway, but I have to say abortions are up since the annulment of Roe v. Wade or the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Abortions are up because of the pill, which can be reversed within a short period of time. There's a window that can reverse the pill that is not nearly as dangerous as the abortion pill itself. But those are being offered like candy to young people without their parents' knowledge or permission, obviously. And for that, my heart breaks.
And as we speak about the youth, as you mentioned, what do you think is the reason that there is a shift? Because I agree with you, there's a shift that's happening among the youth. What have you seen and why do you think that's happening?
So that is a really good question. And I ascribe it to a couple of different things. One, the science is there. We have the heartbeat at 21 days. That's undeniable. We have the whole sort of metamorphosis of the tiny zygote into a human being that is now undeniable. And so the science is there, and anybody who cares to look at the science must be convinced or be crazy. But the second reason is this. We've been lying to children for a very long time. And now young people are growing up in a world where there seems to be perhaps a lot more violence, a lot more disdain for human life. And they have a reaction to that. And some of them embrace that disdain, but others, probably in growing numbers, are rejecting that disdain for human life, if that makes sense, that sort of callous approach to whether life has value. And I think we're seeing this also predominantly in young men, as opposed to young women. We're seeing a return to faith and orthodox faith. At that, like fervent faith, not just namby-pamby going to church faith, but actual orthodoxy. Like, what are the rules? What is the history of the faith? And how do I best practice it? And we're seeing that in the youth. And so I think that that has a very good effect for the pro-life movement. Unfortunately, we don't see it so much with young women. And that's because they are still being lied to that it is their body. Which, of course, is ridiculous. If it was your body, you'd be dead at the end of an abortion. and therefore it is clearly not your body. But unfortunately, young women tend to rely more on their emotional state than on logic.
I'm sure you hear a lot of bad arguments in favor of abortion. What do you think about one of the most common, which is the phrase, my body, my choice? Jennifer?
It's so insane. It's so such a lie. The closest to the truth, the best lie is the closest to the truth. So that's why I say that at that time, with women's rights and all of that, they bought into that notion. It makes absolutely no sense. It's separate DNA. If your mother's body decided not to have your body, you wouldn't be here. I did a bit in the Reagan movie. I played Dennis Quaid's mom, Nellie, and she had a lot to in regard to the shaping of that incredible man, Ronald Reagan. And he had a quote about abortion. He says, "It seems very strange to me that everyone who says that pro-choice are already alive. We were all incredibly vulnerable in our mother's womb, and yet it's supposed to be the safest place we can be."
Let me ask you this. Do you see more celebrities standing up in their beliefs? Do you see more becoming pro-life?
Oh, yeah, no question. One is a dear friend of mine, Neil McDonough. Neil and I did a movie together a couple years ago. It was based on the Left Behind books that Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye wrote, and I directed it. It's called Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist. I highly recommend it. Wonderful movie. After that movie, he has been out full force right now. He's been an amazingly strong voice, and he's such a blessing to have on our side, so to speak, to not be afraid to speak up in his mind. And he's actually pretty much left Hollywood as well and works just fine. He's got his wife working with him as the manager, and pretty much I do that myself with my wife, Sam, and we kind of do our own thing now. And I don't need Hollywood. And it's sad to me because I'd work with them. I don't harbor the anger towards them that they harbor towards people like us that believe in pro-life or believe in capitalism. Really, you know, we got governors and mayors out there that want to believe in socialism because it wasn't ever done right before. Okay. And we know that doesn't work. But I love the fact that people are getting more and more outspoken and not afraid to come out of the closet. There's a few that I know, big names. I will not name them. They're dear friends. But they're afraid to get their careers in jeopardy, which they would. But I'm still working. Like I said, I'm just not doing the big TV shows anymore, the offer to do the big movies. But I am so much happier in my life right now without dealing with Hollywood and Hollywood traffic and Hollywood politics. They're the snake that eats their own tail.
Jennifer, how about you?
I see more celebrities talking about their faith. And therefore, to me, it's inconceivable to say you're a Christian and be pro-choice. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't go together. So what I have seen and noticed is that coming along with those who are professing their faith from Hollywood are pro-life. The truth is getting out there. Hollywood isn't the mean old bear in a sense that there are some wonderful people that live in Hollywood. I don't want to bash Hollywood. The influence of film and everything that comes out of Hollywood is integral to our society.
Well, Jennifer, have you ever had any interesting conversations with a fellow actor? You're so well known as a pro-life advocate and a voice. Have any of them ever come to you and just had a respectful conversation on this topic?
John Voight, who was also in Reagan, I did a show about Michel Legrand, who wrote the music for Summer 42. And so we had a couple of days to talk about everything because he's one of the few people, that was a while ago, maybe 10 years ago, that was so exciting to talk to him because he was bold about Christ. He's bold about his politics. He's bold about pro-life. And so when I run into them or Dennis Quaid or any of those people, Amy Grant and so forth, it's just a delight. You don't have to be mamby-pamby, corny, church-going people to be pro-life. You can be exciting and exhilarant and have your family and care. But the family's falling apart. And so abortion does not just affect the woman. As I said earlier, it affects the entire family. And then it gives way to a culture of death instead of life. And I think that's turning around.
You know, when President Trump signed the Big Beautiful Bill that defunded Planned Parenthood, we saw some of the actors, Lily Allen, for example, Cynthia Nixon came out and they wore those hats about making abortion great again. What are your thoughts on some people having what appears to be a sick obsession with abortion?
When you said make abortion great again, I thought, what does that mean? That's vile. I think that everything today is getting more extreme. First of all, if you're Christians or you believe or you're pro, whatever you are, if you're pro-child, if you're pro-life, you have to speak up. We have been muted in so many areas of our beliefs. And so I think that that is blatant and evil.
Jennifer, you have such a powerful testimony. You have a story that will relate to so many women. What would you say if you were sitting down and speaking to a woman who was being coerced into an abortion that she did not want?
What I would say to her is that she's carrying a life. If she's being coerced, in other words, as I was, there are so many beautiful crisis pregnancy centers around now that would support her in her decision for life, whether it be that she carries the baby and gives the gift of life to adoptive parents who are waiting for that baby of hers. If she folds like I did, she will regret it for a lifetime. And it is a baby, and her life also depends on that decision. Because unless you're like those people with the hat, and you are uncaring and unfeeling, it's going to destroy everything. So whoever's coercing you, if they don't want to take it, responsibility of being the father or whatever, there are so many. Call me. I'll help you. I'll talk you through it.
Sam, what would you say to a scared young woman who's in a position she never thought she would be, and now she's contemplating an abortion?
Yeah, well, I would just say, don't do it. It is not the last time you will ever think about it, which is what they say. They tell you that it's one and done and you never have to think about it again. And of course, it's all you ever think about again. And so the best advice would be to look into adoption if you think that you simply can't take care of the baby. But do not kill the baby, because you are taking another human life. It's very difficult to come back from that. They tell you that the abortion pill or plan B is easy. It is not. It is very dangerous. It is poisoning your body as well as the baby's body. And you simply can't believe the lies. And we ought to be teaching our children discernment in our schools, but we're not. We're making them patsies, basically. And so they are trusting the original source, the salesman. And we've all heard the term used car salesman, and we know what that means. And you need discernment to apply the same sort of metrics to people who are trying to sell you on abortion.
Kevin, what do you have to say to an expectant father who wants the mother of his child to get an abortion, or is at least considering that?
He needs to get a little educated. He needs to go in that screening room with the mother when they see that baby in there and they hear the heartbeat. The technology has changed so much now. Of 100% of women who want abortions, once they hear that heartbeat, 80%, over 80% change their mind. So here's where technology is a good thing. They realize, oh my gosh, that's a heartbeat. There is something live in my stomach. And it changes people's minds drastically, which is wonderful. So those people who want to keep fighting for it, I feel sad for them, because they're going down the wrong road and they just don't get it. I remember Mother Teresa saying, I wish I could just bring all these aborted babies and have them born and bring them all to me. I'll take care of them.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin, Sam, and Jennifer, for joining us today. I know your stories are an encouragement to myself and so many others. And hopefully, following your example, more celebrities in Hollywood will take a stand for life.
You bet.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's been a great opportunity today to speak with these three guests and get their unique perspective and insider's view into Hollywood and entertainment. You know, oftentimes our legislation, our politics, etc., is downstream from culture. And the people who are shaping culture are oftentimes movie stars, those in Hollywood. And so to see that they have a level of encouragement, that the country is shifting, and maybe in some ways the old blacklisting kind of culture that's been enacted against pro-lifers in the industry is starting to hopefully change just a little bit, and to get some of their perspective on having courage, you know, losing or standing to lose so much in their career, but still taking a bold stance for life and saying, We are going to stand up and be a voice for the voiceless. That's an encouragement to myself, and I know it's an encouragement to you. If they can risk millions in the big screen, we can do our part as well to stand up and defend babies. If you want to get more information and resources so that you can join the fight, visit lifeissues.org. Again, that's lifeissues.org. And be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.